1938, and she had a wonderful older sister, Shirley, who she was very close to. Growing up, Pam shared her father's passion for walking, a passion that continued until November just last year. She was a keen horse rider and a member of the Cleveland Hunt Pony Club branch growing up. Can you all believe that? I thought I just heard a few. Pam began to go along to St. Barnabas Church in Middlesbrough with a friend. She went to Nottingham University in 1956. And at one point, she invited a friend to go to a dance. The friend responded with, "I'll go with you if you come with me to a Script Union meeting." And so she did, and that began that journey of faith which grew and deepened. She graduated in 1959, having attained a Bachelor of Science degree in chemistry. Pam went on to do her teacher training at Bramcote Hills Grammar School in 1959 and taught there for 4 years before then moving back to Middlesbrough, where she taught at Eston Grammar School until 1970. Pam then worked for Script Union. Pam, like her father, loved driving, and her new job involved lots of driving all over the country, sharing her faith in schools and helping to run Script Union holidays. Pam, like her daring father, Frank, loved driving fast, something she only got in check in the future once she had a daughter she was teaching to drive. Pam became Auntie Pam when her sister Shirley had a daughter, Jan. Jan was bridesmaid for Pam when she married Ian Patterson in August 1974. Pam and Ian lived in Ruffoth on the outskirts of York. Ian was a teacher at Nunthorpe Grammar School, where he taught economics, history and RE, whilst Pam taught at Millmount Grammar School. In due course, Shirley, Pam's sister, had another daughter, Jill, and she would frequently come to stay with Auntie Pam and Uncle Ian. During 1980, they met their foster daughter, Caroline. For many months, weekends were spent travelling to and from Ruffoth to the children's home in Harrogate. That Christmas was Caroline's first long stayover at their house, and they had a wonderful family Christmas with Grandma Doris, Uncle Stan, Uncle Ray, Auntie Kitty and Auntie Gwen all coming over to visit. Caroline moved in with them permanently in February 1981, aged six, just in time to prepare for her seventh birthday. When Caroline was first told that she was getting parents, she delightedly responded, "Good, I can learn to read now." This proved a harder task than Caroline had expected. However, Pam's patience was immense, as she repeatedly told Caroline that the words were not on the ceiling, but on the page. She told a disbelieving Caroline that one day she would be so into a book, she would not be able to tear herself away from it, even when being called for tea. Pam was quite right, and they enjoyed weekly visits to the library together throughout Caroline's childhood. In fact, on trips out, they would have to implore Caroline to get her head out of a book and enjoy the view. They spent many days out together as a family, walking, playing and having picnics. Each year they had happy holidays in the Lake District with Pam's mother Doris. They also had a regular holiday each year where they would all stay at Brunel Manor, a Christian hotel in Torquay, where they would have great fun together. Eventually, her sister Shirley and niece Jill would join them on this yearly holiday. And from that, many happy memories of beaches, swimming, barbecues, fellowship and friendships were made at Brunel Manor. Pam and Ian had a wonderful garden, and Caroline remembers her mum's love for making a bonfire at the bottom of that garden. Pam always had a love for rabbits, and as a child, she would put her bunny on a lead and take it for a hop around the garden. When Caroline was young, they visited friends whose rabbit had just had babies. They returned from that visit with not one, but two bunnies. Pam was as delighted as Caroline. She continued for many years to have a pet rabbit, which she loved to cuddle on an evening. And she used to rabbit sit Reverend Elizabeth's rabbits when she was minister here. The plan had always been to adopt Caroline, but social workers had difficulties getting their paperwork sorted, and then the laws changed and the process had to be restarted. By the time they were putting in papers again, social services wanted Ian to have another medical, as he had suffered a heart attack. The social worker doubted if they would be allowed to adopt. However, a strongly worded letter from the family GP saved the day, and the adoption was completed in June 1985, when Caroline was 11, just in time to go to secondary school with her new name, Patterson. Pam was a wonderful cook, though she would deny it. Caroline has many happy memories learning to cook and to bake. Sunday lunches were a particular favourite of the families, good cooking accompanied by many groans at dad jokes. Ian would finish by throwing his serviette ring in the air and catching it whilst proclaiming, "That was delicious." Then Pam would close her eyes and wish a fairy would come, just to come and clear the tables. As she sat, eyes closed, a mad scramble of feet and clattering would commence as the table was magically cleared. Until Caroline, seated once again at the table, would proclaim delightedly, "Look, it's worked." A trick of Pam's that worked for her longer than Caroline would probably care to admit. Pam with Ian were very much part of the village chapel life. Ian preached in the Methodist circuit, a youth group was running in their house, and Pam would put on a yearly tearcraft event in the schoolroom at the chapel. She loved the harvest festival, where the church would be decorated with produce from local farms, and Ian would belt out, I'm not going to sing it, "We plough the fields and scatter." Pam would spend one day a week in Middlesbrough throughout her life, visiting elderly relatives and keeping up friendships with many people from when she lived in Middlesbrough. Pam's mother lived in Middlesbrough until she died. She left Pam some money, and over time she felt led by God to buy a small building on St Barnabas Road for the use of St Barnabas Church. This was not a money-making venture. For many years, not many people knew that she owned that building. Pam felt it could be used as a place to support young mums and other vulnerable people within the community. Barney's Cafe was born and became a hub of support within the community for many years. In April 1989, her beloved Ian died, and Pam was faced with grieving and being a single mum. She had great support from her friend Pat and her sister Shirley, as well as many others, and her faith, of course, helped her through this time. Later, Pam took a short counselling course and then worked as a pastoral worker in Holgate and Acombe alongside the Reverend Ian Souter. She also taught in adult literacy. One student did not tell her husband that she was learning to read and write. When he eventually found out, he was mightily relieved, as her sneaking to lessons had had him worried that she might be having an affair. And he was delighted that she had learned to read and write. Pam and this student remained good friends. In 1995, Caroline went to do her nurse training and Pam moved to Easing Road. Pam then began volunteering at Holyrood House in Thirsk, using her counselling and pastoral skills. She was delighted when Caroline and Clive got married in 2000 in St Barnabas Church, where they had met. When Pam turned 70, her family got many friends and family to write her a note or a memory. Caroline made this into a book. And you may have noticed that there is a table at the front covered with many items, including this book. And you are invited to come and have a look at all of those symbols of Pam's life after the service. Pam was thrilled when Iona was born in 2008 and she became a grandma. Soon that joy was increased as Iona was joined by Jamie, Samuel and Katie. Pam loved being a grandma to them. And being Auntie Pam to Jan, Jill, Fab, Erin and Kira. She visited Middlesbrough almost weekly and enjoyed time with the family going on walks, scooting, baking cakes, going to the beach and of course helping the children to learn to read and write. Pam, as you can imagine, was a wonderful support to Caroline and Clive. Iona spent many happy hours making cakes with Grandma. Katie remembers feeding the birds with her and now is ensuring the birds in Caroline's garden are being looked after. Jamie enjoyed Grandma's cooking, especially Grandma's soup, and Samuel enjoyed making Grandma laugh. But it wasn't only her grandchildren who enjoyed Grandma's visits to Middlesbrough, as some of their friends nicknamed her Granny P. And they would shout their welcomes to her when she arrived and goodbyes to her when she left. She was bemused by how much she was loved by them all. Pam enjoyed life in Easing Road. And having joined the Methodist Church here, she was an active member, starting two home groups. She was a pastoral visitor for many years, and she was a steward and part of the Open the Book team for a time. Pam was also a regular member of a walking group, though she never liked using a stick because she thought it might make her look old. And she was also part of the Monday morning singing group, which she found to be great fun and particularly enjoyed taking part in the Christmas concert and deciding which Christmas top to wear. Pam helped at a regular fellowship meeting at Spring Hill Court. She was a loyal friend and good at keeping contact with people. She cared deeply for people and would sensitively share her faith when appropriate. Pam enjoyed pastel drawing and calligraphy, and she used those calligraphy skills for many years in writing the names in the Scripture Union book, It's Your Move, given to each child moving into secondary school in Easing Road. Pam became ill suddenly last December, but she still managed to cook a Christmas dinner for the family, the last meal that she cooked for them. She moved to be nearer family in June. They had some nice trips out as a family, and they all enjoyed being able to nip in to see Grandma just a few minutes' walk away. Pam was delighted when Iona got two rabbits last Christmas. And towards the end of her life, sitting with a bunny on her knee was still one of her greatest joys. During one period of her life, Pam led a Crusaders class, now called Urban Saints, and Janet Lum was one of those 13-year-olds who came under her influence. She went on several residentials with Pam, and the one that sticks in her memory was Pam taking a group of then 15-year-olds to Jersey in a battered old van with bad gears. Janet kept in touch over the years, and Pam visited her in Pickering from time to time, and she called in to see us on the same occasions. Janet says that for her and many other Crusaders, Pam was a quiet influence, marked by her warmth, gentleness and faithfulness, both gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit being displayed in her life. An annual trip to the Keswick Convention was also an important part of her year, and some here shared that experience with her. Others, whom Pam missed greatly, have now gone before to glory. One year, when I was going through a particularly challenging time in my ministry, I spent a couple of days in Keswick with her, myself, and was refreshed by that time. And you may have noticed the music as you entered the church. That was from the Keswick Convention CDs of Keswick worship, which she so enjoyed. I'm giving my voice rest now. I'm going to ask Jill to come and share some family memories.
Thank you. Pam was the most loving and dedicated aunt and great auntie. She touched all our lives immensely. Her love of the outdoors was certainly something she passed on to me, and over the years, right from childhood, she enjoyed many a moment in nature. As a child, on my regular visits to Yorkshire in the summer, we would go out with Uncle Ian and Cousin Caroline. We would go to the coast, castles and country places, we called it, otherwise known as the North York Moors. Pam and Ian had a great sense of humour and fun, which included playing hide and seek at Helmsley Castle, surprising not only us, but visitors to the castle as he jumped out. He was in an old fireplace and, yes, caught us all by surprise. Rain or shine, we would be exploring places, building sandcastles with Tupperware and wooden spoons, and enjoying fabulous picnics. This enjoyment of the great outdoors continued over the years, and I'd always be drawn back to Yorkshire. On one visit, Pam and I enjoyed a lovely walk through the purple heather in the moors. Many will know that Pam loved an afternoon snooze. And on this walk, we found ourselves napping in some on a bed of heather in the sunshine, only to be woken by some fellow walkers who were concerned for our well-being and started talking about calling the air ambulance. Once our girls, Erin and Kira, arrived, we also enjoyed trips to Yorkshire and visiting those old childhood haunts like the White Horse with Auntie Pam and playing games that I had played with the Patterson family when I was a girl. Kira fondly remembers rounds of Don't Miss the Boat and Chinese Checkers. This isn't in the script, but I've suddenly thought of it. Even at the end, Pam was still winning at Chinese checkers. I'll just put that out there. Erin, our eldest, attends the University of Nottingham, where we've heard Pam read chemistry at a time when not many women attended university. She provided a positive role model not only to me, but also to Erin, in Erin's words. Auntie Pam was a remarkable woman who inspires me deeply. I'll just take a moment. Attending the same university that she once did, I feel her presence in every step of my own academic journey. Her legacy of resilience and kindness will stay with me always, guiding me in all I do. I will forever cherish those home-cooked meals. Thank you, Erin. Whoever Pam met, she was touched by her warmth. Fabrice and his family in France were very fond of Pam, and she once visited them in the Alps for a week in 2016. As we've heard, she loved mountains like her own father, Frank, did. I know that there are also here friends of my late sister, Jan. In the words of a friend of mine from rugby, everybody needs an Auntie Pam.
Thank you so much. We know of several people who would love to have been here today and have not been able to for different reasons. And one of them is Clive's sister Hilary, and she sent this message. I first met Pam, of course, when my brother married her daughter. What our relationship actually was caused us some head scratching. She was my brother's mother-in-law or my sister-in-law's mother, but nothing shorter. Since Clive and I lost our parents early on in our lives, to have Pam's loving presence was a godsend, and I benefited as well as Clive. We were friends from the start, and over phone calls shared our mutual Christian faith and what was going on in our lives. We swapped presents at Christmas and birthdays, and Pam's first present to me, a pendant, I've worn nearly every day. It will always remind me of a godly, faith-filled, wise, gracious, and beloved lady. Let's sing again. This time, again on screen, but number 331 in the hymn book, King of Kings. Please stand if you're able. Please be seated. And I invite two speakers. Firstly, Jackie, a great friend of Pam's, and then Ian from the Hope Church will speak to us.
Good afternoon. This is a real privilege to be able to stand here and talk to you all. I didn't realise how difficult it would be. So my name's Jackie Sheffield, and my friendship with Pam began in New Zealand in 1996. I didn't meet Pam in New Zealand. I was actually coming to the end of 3 years of living in that beautiful country when I met one of Pam's friends, Sandra Fairclough, through a mutual New Zealand friend called Margot. Sandra and Pam were friends after meeting through their Scripture Union work. And Sandra is so sorry that she cannot be here today. She would love to have joined us, but I know she is with us in thought and prayer. I am sharing with you here my personal thoughts about our friendship. And when I returned to the UK and moved to Stillington, which is not far from here, Sandra kindly put me in touch with Pam because she realised that we were quite close together. My friendship with Pam, which has lasted 28 years and almost half of my life, our friendship took off immediately, and it has been very special to me. Pam, as you all know, was very easy to like. She was very easy to love. She was gentle, patient, kind, humble, warm, generous, caring, and very wise. She also had a very good sense of humour. I had no idea that she'd enjoyed riding horses. Pam was an excellent listener. She was always interested in me and my family. She enjoyed my girls, and they played with the rabbits that Pam had. And one of my daughters remember one of the rabbits being called Tuesday. Pam was a good listener and a faithful woman of God. She was dedicated to her family, her community, her friends, her church, and to God. I joined Pam's Bible study group that was held in her front room soon after meeting her. She encouraged me there and many others on our individual Christian journeys. One of the things I most admired about Pam was that she was a true prayer warrior. She interceded for so many of us, and we're probably quite unaware that she did. I have cherished memories of praying with her over the years. As we celebrate Pam today, I treasure who she was, her friendship, her deep faith. She was simply lovely. She was always thinking of and helping others whenever she could. My life has been changed for the better because I knew her. And I thank God for meeting her when I did. And I will miss her in so many ways.
One of the greatest delights of my recent years has been the unanticipated blessings of friendships that you didn't expect to form and to have. You get into your 70s and you think perhaps you've made most of your friends. It must have been about 3 years ago, Maria, my wife and I, had been part of a small group meeting in the New Inn here in Easingwold for Bible study and prayer. And from time to time, Pam would come. About 2 years ago, that meeting became the beginning for the Sunday afternoon Hope Church in the Goldtrust Centre, and Pam would come along about once a month. And our paths would also cross from time to time in the New Inn. Conversations were always unfailingly good ones. We knew she was at the heart of the Methodist church here, and she was quite clear she would not, could not, switch churches. She wasn't going to leave the Methodist church because she was committed to various things here and to sustaining meetings where she knew she wanted God's word to be at the centre. But that was not the only piece of what you might call Christian serendipity. You know, serendipity, finding good things by chance. Someone else had also started to turn up at Hope Church, a man called Reg Phillips. He lived at that time in Spring Hill Court here in Easingwold. And I discovered two things when talking to him. First, he and I had both been in the same Leicester church in our youth in Melbourne Hall, though we'd never met. Second, and much more to the point this afternoon, Pam told us that she and Reg had been at Nottingham University at the same time, had both been part of the Christian Union there in the university. There were, of course, all the usual, what you might call denominational societies for Baptists, Anglicans, Congregationalists, Catholics, and of course Methodists. But the Christian Union was a place where students, Christian students, went to where they felt they knew where they stood on the Bible and the Christian faith. And Reg, so Pam told us, had been a great help and encouragement to her in knowing where she was as a Christian. And Reg was one of the first people I told about Pam a couple of weeks ago. Recent months also unearthed another recollection from far back in the 1950s. Pam shared happy memories with Margaret James, the mother of another of the Hope Church members, when Pam lived in Middlesbrough and Margaret in Darlington. And they both had links through the Stockton Baptist Tabernacle. Not sure you get many churches called Tabernacle these days, but that's where they had the connections, and the local Crusader class that we've heard mentioned already. And they could remember the names of past Christians who'd been class leaders, and a man called Victor Dodsworth, who had gone as a missionary to the Middle East, and a Mary Batchelor from Stockton, who was a Christian author. So these things emerged as we met her more frequently, calling at her home, and more recently talking over with her the difficult question of whether to move nearer to Caroline and the family. And we met with her after she'd moved towards the end of September, a few weeks later. She might well have been able to say with the Apostle Paul at that moment, "The time for my departure is near. I fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day." We're thankful for her, as everyone here is. There's a little verse in the Bible about a man called Abel who died. His memorial is this, that by faith Abel still speaks even though he is dead. So might we say, by faith, by her faith, Pam still speaks.
Thank you both. Now I invite Clive to bring our Bible reading to us. Thank you.
It's a common experience for those who go walking in the Lake District or the North York Moors, that you know where you want to go to, but you can't see it because the hills are in the way or it's covered in clouds. But just occasionally, the hills are out of the way, the clouds clear and the sun shines down and you can see, that's where I want to be. This passage from Revelation chapter 21 is one of those experiences. It's a vision of the destination that we hope to share with Pam. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away."
Thank you. So we've heard a lot this afternoon, haven't we, about Pam, and you'll all have your own very special memories too. Pam was a blessing to so many people, including Jeff and I. She loved a trip to the Wetherby Whaler or to a garden centre, and many of you will have experienced those times of fellowship with her over a cup of coffee, or even better, in her eyes, I'm sure, over a meal. She really enjoyed her food, even though latterly she would say, "I shouldn't really be eating this because of her diabetes." Members of the home groups that she led would testify too to how much being a part of those groups helped them. She studied hard herself in order to teach and encourage others in their faith and prayer life. Her words and example were one. As minister here some years ago, I enjoyed occasionally holding an informal communion service at those home groups. Special times. And when she read the Bible in a service here, it was obvious just how much she loved God's word, and how she read was much appreciated. If she saw any need, she would try to meet that herself, or she would get a group together in order to facilitate meeting that need. But one thing that I was surprised to hear that I hadn't heard before, I don't think, was that part of trying to meet a need at one time was learning to play the piano. Anybody else know that? Apparently quite basic, but in order to lead others, she was willing to give it a go. There were times when I went to see her as her minister, and she ministered to me in more ways than I did to her. Her listening skills and sensitivity to others were finely tuned. And one of her challenges, I think, in the past year was the feeling that she didn't want to be a burden, and that she couldn't give to others any longer as she'd done all of her life. That vision that Clive read of, the vision of the new heaven and new earth, the new order of things, doesn't take away from the reality of today. And we know that the kingdom of God is about justice and peace, and that is the day that we long for and work towards, the day when God's kingdom comes fully into being, when God's rule is recognised and complete, when every knee shall bow before Jesus Christ our Lord. But the reality of life means that there are challenges, sometimes extreme and acute, sometimes chronic and relentless. But one of the phrases in the passage that we heard was that they will be his people and God himself will be with them and be their God. And we don't have to wait for that, do we? We know that the message of Advent, of Christmas, is Emmanuel, God with us. A God who is with us now in the reality and the challenges of life. But also the God that sees us through those nows, through these in-between times, into glory with him. And we don't really know exactly what that will look like. That is a delight for us to enjoy when we get there. We may experience those glimpses, and they act as an encouragement, knowing that God is with us now and through into eternity. Through the Holy Spirit, he gives us the ability to endure. But those trials are now over for Pam, for she is in that closer presence of Jesus, seeing and worshipping him face to face, with no more death, no more mourning or crying or pain, in this new home that Jesus prepared for her and for us all as we trust in him. The hymns chosen for today reflect that deep faith that Pam had, and she would want Jesus to be totally the one on whom we focus today rather than herself. And so some of those phrases from the hymns that we've sung and will sing: no power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand. And now she has been called home. King of kings, majesty, God of heaven living in me, gentle saviour, closest friend, strong deliverer, beginning and end, I live to serve your majesty. And didn't she just? A saint resting from her labours. And from the hymn that we're going to sing in a moment, Pam is now lost in wonder, love and praise. Transformation complete. Thanks be to God. The hymn 503, Love Divine or Love's Excelling.
Divine, oh, love's
Please sit. Let us pray. Love divine, all loves excelling, we praise you and bless you and glory in your perfect love, as the hymn says. We thank you for the way in which you showed your love for us in Jesus Christ, our Saviour and Lord, in his life, death and resurrection, in the grace offering forgiveness and a home that you have prepared for each one of us as we come to you in repentance and faith. Today, we thank you for Pam, for her faith and commitment to you, her love of the Bible, the times of worship that we shared with her. We thank you too for the way in which we experienced your love through her. We are grateful for the many good memories of her that have been shared today, and for those that we hold close in our own hearts. We think of the qualities of her life already described, like gentleness, patience, kindness, warmth, generosity, wisdom, faithfulness to you, her sense of humour and that twinkle in her eye, for the way in which she was such a good listener, an encourager, and a faithful woman of God. And we acknowledge her humility in not recognising so many of those qualities in herself. We think of the contribution that she made to others within her church communities, but also as a mother, grandma, and friend, for her leading of others in Bible study and prayer, her enjoyment in shared fellowship. And so in a few moments of silence, we bring our own memories of Pam in thankfulness to God. We thank you that for Pam, there is no more pain or frustration or anxiety or fear, and that for her, limitations are ended, weakness is overcome, and death itself is conquered. So, loving Lord, as Pam's body has been cremated and her physical presence is no longer here with us, we commend her to you, knowing that you will hold her in mercy, joy, and peace. For in you alone do we put our trust. Amen. Amen. We pray now for those who will miss Pam most, for Carrie and Clive, Iona, Jamie, Samuel, and Katie, as well as the wider circle of family and friends. And we remember those not well enough to be here today, Pat, Hilary and others. May each one be blessed as you surround them with your own special peace, comfort and strength. For we ask these and all our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And so let us join together in the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Just a couple of notices. You will see dotted around some envelopes in the backs of the chairs and as you exit the church. And these are envelopes, if you wish to donate in Pam's memory, to the MAF, Flying for Life, the Mission Aviation Fellowship. And if you would like to take them away and fill them at leisure and then send them off to the free post address, that's fine. Or if you wish to donate and just leave these or a donation in the basket as you leave, that would be much appreciated. And also, as I said earlier, there is the table here for you to look at. There are also refreshments in the hall after the service. If you're not able to stay, perhaps you might like to leave through this front door and have a look at the display on your way out. Otherwise, go have a cup of tea and share some more memories, and then come back and look at the table when you're ready. The last words belong to Caroline, and she's asked me to read this on her behalf. She describes her mum as being like the sun coming out on a cloudy day. Whatever hardship you were going through, she could be trusted to be there for you, to be a listening ear, to do a chore for you, provide a lift to an appointment, or pray for you. In the storm, you would feel a bit of sunshine on your face. When Pam was ill, someone mentioned to Caroline that they felt a bit frightened to visit her. They then resolved to go visit because they just knew she would absolutely do that for them. When you are unsure or a bit frightened about offering that lift, going to see someone ill or bereaved, or even just interacting with others, remember Pam's beautiful, sunny smile and how she was the sunshine in the storm for many people, and take strength from that. Because she learnt this from following Jesus. When you think, what would Pam do? Remember at the centre of her was her love for Jesus, and her question was, what would Jesus do? In this, she learned to be the sunshine in the storm. And the flowers, the yellow flowers, remind us of that sunshine that was Pam. We all loved Pam, and she loved all of us very well indeed. And most of all, she loved Jesus. And so we sing our final hymn, number 351, In Christ Alone.
In Christ alone, I go.
ours, so may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and remain with you always. Amen. Please be seated and feel free to stay and listen to the music.